Welcome to Follow the Sound. I am your host, Brian Kroc. Each week, we bring you different aspects of the world of music, including concert reviews, this week in music history, and what we are bringing you again today, our tried and true album review. I like that. That rhymed.
Tried and true album review.
And along with me is, of course, my co-host, Greg Harvey.
Yes, hello.
Now, it was not my week to pick an album. It was Greg's week this week.
Woo!
And so I think he's picked out something very special for us. But before we get just to that, be sure to check out YoRadio.com. You can download the app on iTunes or the Apple iStore to whatever app store thingamabob and
you know
Google Play.
Thing. You got a smartphone.
You know what I'm talking about. Download it there. Free music out the wazoo. Please do so. Like I said, it is completely 100% free, and you can listen to all sorts of genres of music. Including, I know that there are some of the genre that we are currently doing today. But, Greg, what are we doing today?
We are going back to the 90s for some ska music.
Woo! Woo!
Our band today is the notorious superheroes from Orange County, California, known as the Aquabats. And today's album will be their 1997 release, second album from them, The Fury of the Aquabats, which by most Aquabat fans' standards is probably their best and most popular and is pretty much the only one that you could walk into a Best Buy and actually find on a shelf.
Probably.
Back when they still had CDs. So anyways, this album is fantastic. It was released October 28th, 1997. And a whole bunch of people in this band, I'll just run through them real quick. They all use pseudonyms.
What? 1997? This album is like going on 21 years?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, the Aquabats have continued to release albums every few years up until like, I think the last album they put out was maybe 6 or 7 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
But they are still extremely active. If you're not familiar with the Aquabats, you might be familiar with the Aquabats' pet project at the moment, a little children's television show called Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yes.
And they have focused most of their energy into that television show lately. And so if you ever do watch Yo Gabba Gabba, you'll notice that they get some really good like musical artists and guests on the show. And sometimes they're old ska bands that come in and do songs about, you know, they had the Agrolites come in and do a song about bananas. And, you know, they had a bunch of good ska bands. So that's their connection. So anyways, back into the album, The Fury of the Aquabats. The lineup on this is, of course, none other than the lead singer, The Bat Commander. On the saxophone, we had Jamie the Robot. On electric and acoustic guitars, Chainsaw, the Prince of Karate. On trumpet, we had Prince Adam. We've got on bass guitar, Crash McLarson. On trumpet, we had Catboy. And on drums, we had the Baron Von Tito. And last but not least, on electric and acoustic guitars, as well as a bunch of percussion instruments, Ultra Q. Now, one of those names you probably didn't realize was somebody you've heard of.
Somebody we've reviewed on this show.
Absolutely. The Baron Von Tito, the drummer on this album for the Aquabats, is none other than Travis Barker from Blink 182. That's right. This was the last album that Travis Barker recorded before he joined Blink 182. So if you're a Travis fan, definitely pay attention to these drums and you'll get it. You will get it. So anyways, why don't we go ahead and jump into this awesome album? The first track is, well, it might as well be self-titled because it's called Super Rad.
Flashlights to the sky.
Yeah. So the whole shtick behind this band, of course, if you're not familiar with the Aquabats, if you are, good for you. But if you aren't, essentially they're a troupe of superheroes that goes around and fights crime. It's very like Power Rangers-esque, except not to be taken seriously, even though I guess why would you take Power Rangers seriously? But nonetheless, all the musicians in the band wear matching jumpsuits with like kind of like a superhero utility belt. And they wear skull caps and black face masks, kind of like the Lone Ranger. So it's really fun to see. They used to have little bat-like ears off of the helmets, too, like Batman. And, you know, like when Travis Barker would play drums, they would kind of like flop because they were made of rubber, so they'd be flopping around. So anyway, super rad, sweet album, just kind of establishes that they are a very lighthearted band, definitely going with the superhero theme. That song kind of kicks off the superhero theme. Gorillas with Dakota rings was are their like you know teammates that help them fight crime. So this is not to be taken seriously, folks.
No.
The next track on this album is about meeting a girl on the playground and remembering exactly what she was wearing that day because you fell in love. The song is called Red Sweater.
Box you up.
Red sweater. You wore a red sweater with an alligator.
Wow.
Yeah, so out on the playground, making friends, finding love, and living in a garbage can. He doesn't even care. So a nice, innocent song. That one's definitely poppy. And going back to Travis Barker, you know, we've discussed before, but sometimes drummers are underrated because of how much they can really shape a band. And you know, I've even said this about Travis Barker in the past, because when you think about Blink-182, if they just had like some generic drummer, they would be a generic punk band.
Yeah,
but Travis Barker spices it up so much that I mean the other guys in the band can just play bar chords and it's still like really interesting and intricate because of his beats. And so this band was able to pull off a lot of really tight fast musicianship because of it, and the best part is that the horn players can keep up. So I love it.
I really enjoy that fast ska, like that, you know, the songs that are typically just way faster than reggae ever would be.
Yeah. So.
yeah I like it.
That's a great song.
What do we got next?
So this next one is a tribute to everybody out there who loves eating fried chicken. That's right, fried chicken, from the track Magic Chicken.
We're rolling. This is the good one. Take five.
Hear the
That is literally a song about eating chicken.
Wow.
Yep. Later on in that song, too, they do a nice little breakdown where they're like, do the popcorn chicken, the popcorn chicken, do the popcorn chicken, the popcorn do the KFC. So, yeah, this is definitely for a young soul, lighthearted individual to really get into this. But you know what? That was who I was in high school.
See, this is something that has always stuck with me when my father would listen to the music that we were listening to growing up, of which, you know, we grew up basically listening to the exact same stuff. With ska and punk and all of that. But my dad always said that he liked the fact that we listened to ska because it was happy.
Yeah, there you go.
Even the sadder songs were still happier than most of the other stuff that was out there.
Yeah.
It was a feel-good kind of music, you know?
There are a handful of sad ska songs, and they're kind of awkward, you know? I definitely agree with you on that. So that was track 3, Magic Chicken. Now, track 4 is going along with the theme that you imagine you're watching Saturday morning cartoons and suddenly the bad guy appears and the superheroes jump into action with track 4, Fight Song.
It's a minute long.
It's a minute long. It's totally instrumental, and they add in some fight sound effects over it. But it's literally a point in the album that's supposed to make you feel like it's the fight scene where they stopped, they put down their instruments, they got into a fight, which, by the way, live performances, that's what they do. They'll play half their set, and then suddenly a bunch of supervillains will rush the stage, and they put down their instruments and fight them. And then once and while they're fighting, I think maybe one of the musicians is still playing a riff or something to kind of keep the music going. And then the rest of the band members are fighting, and then they defeat the foes and go back to playing some music. So that's what we're going to do. This next track refers to the horror, the terror, the gross, obscene bastardization of creation that is the cat with two heads. Cat with two heads. Later on in the song, too,
that's great.
They do a little breakdown and they have the scientist come in and he says, I wanted to create something that would be, great for the world. A two-headed cat. You could pet one kitty's head and pet the other kitty's head. Little did I know that I would create a man-eating monster. The cat with two heads, ladies and gentlemen. Musically speaking, where are you at with all this, Brian? Are you keeping up?
I'm enjoying it. It is so absurd that it's just great.
I love it. I mean, you have to use your imagination and be on board with this. Otherwise, you absolutely hate this music. Yeah, and I get it.
It's one part feel good for me because it's ska and it's, kind of punk-ish, a little bit. but it's childish and playful, and so it's like, you know, a Saturday morning cartoon. Like, and then on top of that, it's like just complete absurdity,
mm-hmm.
and extremely good musicianship.
That's the thing, too. They're so good.
It is such a weird thing, and yet I'm really enjoying it just because, like, I don't know, it's lighthearted, and it's fun, and it's happy. And I don't see how anybody could actually, like, really hate this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the musicianship is just so tight. They were so on point. It's almost kind of comical that they take the musicianship and put it towards this creative outlet.
All right, we got 10 more songs to get through. Let's go.
We do. This next song is about nothing, actually. It's called The Story of Nothing. Yeah, so the song's not actually about nothing, but what's funny about it is that he's supposedly some sort of ocean bottom-dwelling creature who, you know, kind of almost like Little Mermaid, where he's the crab, Sebastian, and he falls in love with, you know, the Little Mermaid or something. But she's not interested. So when anybody asks him how things are going, he says, nothing. Let's talk about something else. And that's funny. Another solid song. This next song, keeping with the nautical theme.
Yeah, they're going for the water here, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Now, this song, it's 2018. It's not totally PC, but, you know, nonetheless, the swashbuckling tale of Captain Hampton. Captain Hampton. Jeez. Captain Hampton and the Midget Pirates.
Young Jim as a lad, he looked for adventure, calamity, danger, whatever was free. So when he turned 10, he packed his belongings and he left home to find his destiny. Jim, just a boy whose head full of legends of dungeons and dragons and pirates and stuff. So that summer he snuck on a schooner to Harpoon Tuna and get real buff. The captain, he said, there's danger ahead. We need some brave men to sail, and then we'll find out those pirates, stop them with violence to make the ocean safe.
Now, the pirates the brave captain was looking for were the fierce midget pirates of Willygoat, the deadliest pirates in the seven seas. And although they were wee men, they had big sores and were known for gutting many and leaving few alive. The captain knew they were heading towards the Sandwich Isles to pillage the giant ham farm. The captain knew what he must do, and this is his story.
Cleaning up the oceans, Captain Hampton and his crew. Trouble in the seven seas, he'll know what to do. Captain, he is rescuing pirates on the soot. Scallywags and scurvy dogs are pressed under his body. Captain Hampton, Captain Hampton, Captain Hampton,
Captain Hampton. Ahoy! Ahoy!
So the tale of a young man who snuck aboard a schooner to harpoon tuner and
oh
get real
God.
Buff. There you go. Of course, the song tells the whole tale of young Jim and his adventures with Captain Hampton and the fierce midget pirates of Willygoat. So there you go. I like that one. The horns are definitely prominent. They show off a little bit in that, especially later in the song, too, when they actually bust into like a rendition of God Save the Queen, like a ska version of it. That's one of my favorite songs, not so much for the song itself as much as just the silly little adventure you get to go on with them for that one. So it's good. This next song is called Martian Girl, and it is probably the Aquabats never really had a hit single. But this is about as close as they got. It's called Martian Girl. Martian Girl from Planet P.
Wow.
She's got razor sharp teeth and she eats people. Spoiler
Interesting.
Alert. Spoiler alert, she was there to eat people, not be their friends. But he still fell in love with her anyways. And I think the reason why that was probably like one of their bigger hits as far as they're concerned is because it's really simple, it's really catchy, and it's probably the most straightforward song that they have. As far as like verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, end type thing. And you know what? That works really well in the music biz. So can't knock them for it. This next song, honestly, this is probably my least favorite song on the album, but they're all still good. Can you imagine that moment when you open your front door to go outside and you're attacked by snakes?
Blows up balloons in my dreams. Ding dong rings the bell. Something's at the door, so I put on my slippers and I creep across the floor. Door to door, from hence I heard another ding dong. I peep through the door hole, but something's very wrong, as on my porch there are thousands of snakes ready to strike. I feel queasy and my knees start to shake. My perilous fate, I see no escape. The siege to my country estate. The devil must have opened hell's gate and called up millions of snakes to take me from this place. Big ones, little ones, fat ones, skinny ones, protect me from their venomous drug that springs from the needles of fangs. Attacked by snakes, by snakes. So many snakes you can.
I'm tired of all these mother. Never mind.
All these mother flipping snakes on my mother flipping porch. I tell you what. So, Attacked by Snakes. Now, like I said, it's not my favorite track. I think it's just because it's like a slow song.
Yeah, it's slow and it's a little weird. And like,
yeah,
you know.
It is weird. But that introduction where it just kicks off the song.
Yeah.
A true testament to the musicianship, especially highlighting the horn section again. Mm-hmm. These guys are goofy, but damn. Were they good?
Yeah.
And that's the biggest takeaway I want you guys to get. They might be silly, but they were damn good.
Yeah.
All right, this next song I think we can all relate to. This album, like you said, is like 21 years old, but it still stands true. Turn off the idiot box. Turn off the idiot box. A lot of those Saturday morning cartoon references in that one.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm going blind, just like Mr. Magoo. Mm-hmm. That one's pretty self-explanatory. Another upbeat one. Kick ass. This next song, this is what I would call the sleeper track on this album.
Yeah.
First, I don't know, maybe 10 times I heard this song, I didn't like it. And then that 11th time, I started to get it. And I'll tell you what. This always reminds me of Ren and Stimpy because they had Powdered Toast Man. Do you remember Powdered Toast Man from Ren and Stimpy there, Brian? Did you ever watch Ren and Stimpy?
I did not watch Ren and Stimpy. No, it was one of the shows that, because it was on cable, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was a little too mature for us, but we watched it anyways, you know?
Yeah.
It was like,
well, I didn't have cable growing up, so, you know, I just watched all the standard Saturday morning cartoons and, all of the after-school cartoons that they showed on around these parts, I believe, Channel 11 and all that.
Well, Powdered Toast Man was a ridiculous superhero who was, well, made out of powdered toast. And he always had a very heroic voice to him, even though he was a weird superhero. Well, if you have Powdered Toast Man as the superhero, you got to have his arch nemesis, the evil Powdered Milkman. Milk potholes all over the city. Yeah. Powdered Milkman is an evil, diabolical man who wreaks devastation through his powdered milk powers, and the Aquabats have to fight him to defeat him. Later in the song, there's a really cool part where they kind of do a breakdown, and they have all these effects of, like, gunshots and explosions and stuff, the ensuing battle against Powdered Milkman. So, at first, like I said, I didn't like that song. It's a little convoluted, it's a little hard to get into, but if you follow the story and you kind of enjoy yourself a little bit, that's a really fun one. All right, this next song is about on a Friday night when you're looking for something to do and you just want to go out. You just want to hang out with people, go to the bar, go to the friend's house, anything, and yet somehow you just can't find anything to do, so you end up riding my skateboard. We'll be right back.
sit and wait for something to happen. I do sat and waited for you to call. Well, I waited too long and I thought, hey, maybe I should call you. But by then, you were already gone.
So all he wanted to do was spend time with his favorite gal, but she went out with some dumb jock and left him alone with his skateboard tonight.
Dun, dun, dun.
Excellent musicianship. What can I say? You guys just listen for yourselves and be the judge of it. This next song is really cool. It's 3 minutes long, but it's entirely instrumental. And it's basically a showcase of each individual member's talents in this instrumental version. And it comes together kind of like if you were at the Enchanted Under the Sea dance. This one's called Fantasma del Mar. I like to imagine that I'm like scuba diving and you're like going through a coral reef and you're seeing all these beautiful, colorful corals and these beautiful fish and they're all just kind of going around and there's bubbles. And that's really kind of the takeaway from this song is just imagine like you're just swimming among the fishes and looking at all the beautiful sights to see. Fantasma del Mar. This next song is completely different. Holy cow. If you own a pair of spoons and you want to slap them along to the beat, this would be the song for you, because sometimes in life, you're like a lobster in a bucket and you just can't climb out. It's called Lobster Bucket. So that song is secretly about how friends can help you out of hard situations. Hmm. Just like when you're a lobster in a bucket, why don't they climb out? Because other lobsters pull them down. Hmm. And that is a metaphor, ladies and gentlemen, for humanity. So, weird one. Like I said, if you had some spoons, that would have been a good one. And you may have noticed, along with the trumpet and saxophone, we also had a prominent kazoo.
Yes.
That song, as weird as it is, it always reminds me of like the Roaring Twenties.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a ragtime jazz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of fun to just sprinkle a little bit of that fun into this album. We have two songs left.
Only two.
Only two. I know this next
16
one.
16 tracks.
16 tracks. Well, this next one is less than 2 minutes long.
Yes. So,
this is the official Aquabats theme song. It's called Theme Song.
Super short, and we can't play the whole thing. Sorry.
That's true. So, I don't think I mentioned it earlier, but the Aquabats, not only did they pretend to be a Saturday morning cartoon, but at one point they actually had a Saturday morning cartoon, and that was the theme song to the cartoon.
Of course it was.
Mm-hmm. Now, this next song, it's kind of a hidden track, if you will, but it's also one of the better Aquabat songs out there. So it comes in at 6 minutes and 43 seconds, but this track actually starts at about, like, I don't know, the 4-minute mark, and it's just 4 minutes of silence before that. But it's a great song talking about being a child growing up in the 80s. The song is called Play-Doh.
Out of the Pacific Northwest, somewhere in the octagon, in a cave, in a patch of moss, underneath a rock, in a week for bacteria leeches, nature mutating, the most dazzling human-sized particles of evildoers the world has ever known, armed only with donkey bones, honey bears, and the muscle on whom they traveled in. These marooned mass marbles land on the sandy beaches in search of vitamin C and a few thousand marbles. If you have their number, call them some kind. They are
go. It's got a little bit of an intro to the song with the Lone Ranger theme there, but I don't know if you picked up on the chorus, though, but I believe those words were, "When I was a little man, Plato came in a little can. I was Star Wars' biggest fan. Shaggy drove the mystery van. G.I. Joe was an action man. Something, 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 something. Devo was my favorite band. Take me back to my happy land." So, yeah, it's literally kind of reminiscing about growing up in the late 70s, early 80s for this guy.
Nice.
MC Bat Commander, of course, being the lead singer and kind of telling his own personal story. And that wraps up the Aquabats in a Play-Doh can right there, folks.
Absolutely.
You can't really put a pin on them except to say that they are a ska band, but...
They're a very strange ska band.
They go all over the place, man.
All over the place. I enjoyed that.
I think these guys are the reason why ska music is considered so weird, but then also not, because
that's understandable.
It's also just a weird genre.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But these guys definitely push the boundary of it being like silly and goofy, which definitely has sometimes an unwarranted reputation for the genre, because sometimes, you know, there's ska bands out there like Less Than Jake that just do punk ska songs after punk ska songs about like women and beer and hanging out with the buddies and going and playing a show in another city. And then the Aquabats are, you know, a cat with two heads, a bucket full of lobsters, a fight song where they just fight imaginary villains, and then a song where they actually fight a villain. So what can I say?
I dig it.
It's a great album. They put out many more after that. Of course, the lineup just completely changed. Travis Barker.
They have their own Wikipedia article of past members. Yeah. It is a separate article from the band.
It just goes on and on. I know. I think the current lineup, I think the guitarist currently, his name is Bones. You know, so that's cool. I do know that present day Crash McLarson, their bass player, and the Bat Commander, the lead singer, are the only two original members still remaining. Like I said, Travis Barker actually joined Blink-182 right after this album, and so their sound kind of changed a little bit, but you know what band doesn't,
right? Yeah, exactly.
So overall, the Aquabats, great musicianship, fun crazy songs. Brian,
I mean, I love it. I thought it was great. It was a fun and fantastic little album, and I think that, it was very well produced. The musicianship was fantastic. Obviously, it was meant to be, you know, taken humorously, which, of course, it is. I can't find fault in this album. Cannot.
I would encourage people, just like any album review, to go back and listen to the entire songs, too, because some of those, if you weren't really feeling it in the beginning, you might feel it by the end, because the songs, just like the album, the songs can kind of take a left turn.
Yeah.
Halfway through, and we can't always get to that part of the song.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to do some rankings?
Yeah, I'd say, as far as this album is concerned, obviously.
Is this out of 5? Out of 10?
We always do out of 10. Yeah. I would give this a solid 7.
A solid 7.
Yeah.
I mean,
because obviously it's not something I'm going to listen to all the time, but it's something that definitely is like, hey, have you listened to this album? Like, you should.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend this album. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I would recommend this one too. I would probably give it, I don't always give the best reviews, but given how tight they are and how much of a fan I am, it's got to be a solid 8.
Nice.
I mean, nobody gets a 10.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, it's very rare for me to give a solid 10 to, to an album. So
I think I've only given out 1 9 since we started doing this.
Yeah.
And I don't remember which album it was.
Yeah, I don't remember either. Mm-hmm. It was a bit ago, but I mean, then again.
It was.
So
there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed our album review of the Aquabats, the Fury of the Aquabats.
Yes.
And go check out more of their stuff.
Yes. Be sure to check out all of our other podcasts. You can find us at followthesoundpodcast.com. Check us out on social media. We got Twitter at iFollowTheSound. You can find our group on Facebook, the Follow the Sound group. We share stuff there all the time, different videos or different things about music and whatnot. Also, remember to go check out Yo Radio at YoRadio.com, or you can check them out on the Apple iStore. Apple App Store. I did that again.
Apple App
App. App Store that Apple happens to run, or you can find them on Google Play and all that. Download it. Completely free music. All these different radio stations that are all over the place, and it's just fantastic. And like I keep saying before, we will be getting our own station on there, and this album will be on there eventually. So, yeah, be sure to check that out. I have been your host, Brian Kroc. Along with me has been Greg Harvey.
Everybody do the KFC!
Remember, folks, if you hear it, follow the sound.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.